Hello, welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. I'm Steve Martin. In this hour, we're going to speak to Mark McElroy, who is famous at the Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival for his giant black flying pig. It's a beautiful story. When we're done with this conversation, which is taken out at his campsite, there's some ambient noise and some wind. Doesn't bother me at all. Won't bother you. It just seems like you're there. But I will come back for what I will call a Paul Harvey page two. So when the interview is over, I'll be back. We'll fill out the rest of the day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Unreal Bluegrass, I'm talking to Mark
McElroy.
McElroy, thank you, Mark. We've gone through this twice before, and I keep doing the wrong emphasis on the last name. We're sitting here at Grey Fox. The Bluegrass Festival hasn't begun yet, and it's Wednesday. And I talked years ago. You and I just chatted about this amazing thing that's now become a fixture, the flying black pig. And we talked about it then, and I thought the other day that I would like to be that, have that be part of a show. So that's why I'm down here now, because we'll tell the audience why you had it in the first place, how you got this one again, and then what it means. And I think it's a beautiful story. So just go from there, and we'll take it.
Well, it turned out, you know, on my 25th anniversary of coming to Winter Hawk and Grey Fox, I wanted to do something special, but not for myself, but for the entire festival, because we have become like family. Everybody at this festival is family. You know, people go, how come these people have this special spot here? It's because we all work together. We're as family. So I wanted to do something special, and I thought of an inflatable balloon to fly over the festival. I had spoken with Mary Dobb and Lisa and Mary Burdett, and I was it took a long time to get the legalities out of it, the insurance, and what it was going to actually take to get it for me to be able to bring it up here. And I did the first year, and it had a completely different I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It was just nothing what I expected.
I think the reaction must have been overwhelming. Am I wrong? Because
no,
it became a fixture of the festival. To me, it became, I knew the thing was real when I saw the pig fly. And I used to say that all the time, and everybody has thousands of pictures. To me, Bluegrass Grey Fox Festival really started for real when I knew the pig was up. Now, it took me a couple years to talk to you about what it really meant, but to me, that was the beginning of Grey Fox officially. It's like the flag has been waved and we're going to start now. That's
yeah,
what it meant.
And now it's to the point where I have to be the first one in or somewhere around the first one in so I can, you know, sweat to get set up and then fill up Laura Lou. And so people can see her as they come in here, because it really does mean a lot to people.
It does. It absolutely does. And by the way, you mentioned something that I'm so glad you brought up. I guess I've not been probably up maybe 10 years, 11 years. But there is a family thing that once you're part of the family, whether it's someone camping down from you or someone in the management or some of the artists that you make become familiar with, I see people all the time that I know. I don't know their names, but I've seen them here. They know me. They don't know who I am, but it's that whole instant family recognition that I don't need to know your name. I know who you are. You camp over there. I see you all the time. So it is a family thing where it's just an automatic bond, and I think you play such a big part, at least in my career of that, you play such a big part in identifying that bond, and everybody can relate to it. I just think it's a great... I want to talk to you about the story of it, but... So, what was the first year you brought it here?
Well, the first year I brought it here was, I'm going to say, 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that.
Okay.
But what had happened was, you know, I wanted to do something special for the festival, but I also wanted to recognize one of our lost patrons, family members,
yes.
Is what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was just a young girl, and she had a brain aneurysm, and she passed. Her name was Laura Lou. And, you know, I just wanted her never to be forgotten. And, you know, and when people, you know, think of Laura Lou, it's not our friend, it's their friend.
Right.
And, you know, a woman actually today, I was at the creek, and she said, you know, I want you to know, I tell my children, if they ever lost at the festival, look for the flying pig.
Oh, I never thought about
and
that.
And they'll find your way home for you.
It's like the North Star.
Yeah,
wherever you are, find the black pig.
Look for the flying black pig.
And you can find your way back to where you are.
And you'll find your way home.
I never thought about that. So tell me, can you tell me, we talked about this a couple of years ago, Mark, but tell me about Laura Lou, if you don't mind. Tell me about that story again and why you do this to honor her. I know you just told me a little bit about it, but without a lot of, I don't want to bring up a lot of sad memories. I know this is a very touching thing for you, but what can you tell me about Laura Lou and why we all now know?
You know, she was just a special, kind, caring, giving person. I mean, she was a vegetarian. I mean, I don't know people who are vegetarians. I'm sorry, I just don't know them. And she was just such a sweet, she didn't want to hurt animals. You know, that's the kind of person she was, and that's the person she is, and that's why she, our flying pig from Grey Fox, has that name, and everybody knows Laura Lou.
Well, if she was a vegetarian, why you got a pig flying? So why not a piece of broccoli?
Isn't that a good question?
I'm sure you've been asked before.
No, actually, that's a first. No, she was just a sweet person. Yeah. And
the pig, by the way, yes, it's black, but it's a very happy. It's got wings. And I come from the Cincinnati area, which was the pork capital of the world. They have a regular race, which is the flying pig. So to me, it's like I thought it was back in Cincinnati when I came here because of the flying pig nature. That
well, the called. Reason why she's black, because there's a story with that too.
Okay.
I used to bring a real pig to the Winter Hawk Blake Bluegrass Festival.
And for the audience, that was a predecessor of what we now call Greyhound.
It was, and it was in Ankrumtale, New York, and I used to bring my pig, a black pig.
A live pig.
A live pig. He had his own tent. It was fantastic and amazing, but he got too old, and I donated him to a petting zoo.
They get old and big.
They get old, and
they get big, and that's a hog after a while.
There's a
yeah,
hog.
Well, I didn't know you had a pig.
Yeah, okay. He used to come to the festival every year.
He was probably pretty docile.
You know, it's so docile that, you know, I had a
you couldn't.
I lived on a cul-de-sac, and the kids in my neighborhood come knock on my door asking if Fred could come out and play. And he had a different sound for when he was happy, and I'd know he was going to go out, and they would chase the kids, and the kids would chase him, and they have a great time, good exercise.
Wow, I didn't know about the live pig, but so I've enjoyed the pig flying. It means many things to me. I didn't know about this. Parents tell their kids if you get lost, find them. That's a neat thing.
Yeah, that was the first. I've heard a lot of good stuff.
That's
yeah,
an unintended consequence, I think.
Yeah,
you know, it's a good one. It's like, oh, never thought about that. But so the pig was up, as I say. I know that you let it up, and if the storm, if it gets windy, you kind of bring it down a little bit.
Yeah.
So you try to pay attention to that. So you were flying the original black pig. And how many years ago was it that it decided that it wanted to see the world?
Well, in 2019, it was a very damp year. And I have corkscrew, very, very good stakes to put in the ground. However, the dirt must have been a little bit more moist than I had thought. And when I got most of the helium in, I turned around to get a fourth tank, and she just decided to free herself and fly away. The funniest part, how some of the stage musicians were posting pictures.
Well, we all saw it, and I'm not a stage musician, but we all saw it and thinking, it's going a little high for Laura Lou. And he kept going.
Wait a second, is that her? Is that her flying across the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, look, she's in Cairo now.
So I'm talking to you here at your campsite, so every once in a while we have happy children that come over and talk to you. He's one of them. He's got a shirt that says flying pig on it. So, yeah, it escaped, and we all saw it. And at first I thought, this is a new trick. This is something. He's going to pull this back in, but it just left. And did we ever find what remained of the original Laura Lou?
The answer is no. My thought is that she was dragging a long tether with an anchor at the end, and she had to have went. The helium was being, you know, coming out. That she had to have caught on a treetop somewhere. That's got to be my guess.
Wow, how big is the? How big is
bigger
the
than
balloon?
A Volkswagen Beetle?
She's
pretty big.
What's she weigh uninflated? I'm gonna get this stuff from you because
you know it's funny
know.
Because somebody says how many people does it take to carry it? Well, listen, I'm an old man and I carry her by myself. About 50 pounds.
Okay. And when she's inflated, she's larger than a Volkswagen Beetle, which, to the audience that doesn't remember Volkswagen Beetles, let's say I do, you do, I had one, you may have had one.
I have.
But it might be as big as a Toyota Hybrid. If we want to bring it to the current times, I'd say that's about right.
That is about right.
About right. So she floated away. COVID shut down Grey Fox, where we are now, for 2 years.
And shut her down, too, if I might add.
Okay.
People don't know, but she was being reconstructed in that area where COVID had started.
Oh, okay.
And they had shut down production of her and said, that's it, we can't do it. They said, however, we have another company in another part of China that will do it for us. And they did a new Laura Lou, and it was still held up there for 2 months.
I would say to the casual observer, you can't tell this isn't the original. I mean, they're identical. For me,
They are too. However, somebody told me it doesn't have the evil eyes anymore. What that is, I have no idea.
I never thought it had an evil
eye. I didn't either, but apparently, it did.
Black pig. I thought it was kind of cool. And like,
apparently, some people did think it had evil eyes.
Well, there's too many, or read too many Stephen King movies, or watched too many Stephen King movies made from his books about, you know, pigs and evil eyes. I didn't see evil eyes.
Nor
did you.
I saw a lot of kids with happy faces. That's what I saw.
And adults. I mean, to me, it's
and
like,
adults.
Hey, there it goes. It's up.
Somebody came up, walking by today, and says, oh, I still have my pop from 5 years ago. I have this candy company, the Melville Candy Company, and they designed these flying pig lollipops. And
I've got one, because you always give me one when I see you.
They're made out of barley sugar. There's no preservatives. They're just a very well... There are very few parents who won't let their children eat them. They're very nice good lollipops.
And the flavor, I sense, is black cherry.
It is black cherry, yeah.
I get one from the first time you gave me one, back to the tent, and I thought... And I love black cherry. That's perfect. So they have a little pig. They say Grey Fox with the wings on him, and he has Laura Lou's name on him.
Yeah. Kids love them. Parents save them.
Yeah. You should eat them. That's what they're for.
Actually, truth be told, I've only had one in all the years.
I mean, everybody should eat them.
I know.
Eat them all. You couldn't do that. So you make the lollipops.
Well, I have them made.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned the name of the company where they're made, and you bring them here. You just gave one. You gave one to me. Thank you. I know that children come to you because they know you have the blue lollipop.
I started out with 50, then 100. Now I'm up to 250 I get.
To bring here?
Just, yeah.
Do you go anywhere else and put Laura Lou on display?
No, she will only fly here.
How long does it take you to fill her up to make it airborne?
About 45 minutes.
Okay.
About 45
and
minutes.
Last a couple years ago when I came down and visited with you, not to record anything, but just to chat, you pulled it down so I could get a picture. It didn't seem that hard to do. You pulled it down.
It is not that hard. I still have that picture. Yeah.
Yeah. All the kids came around. I said, man, he's going to pull it out of the sky for me. So I took a little shot of it, and that was nice. And it wasn't like you're pulling on, you know.
If there's a big wind, it's a little difficult. But if there's no wind at all, it's amazingly easy to pull down.
It's not Grey Fox until Laura Lou's flying. I think a lot
that makes me happy.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
You know, I was saying something yesterday, and they said, why do you do it? I said, I'm going to tell you why I do it. If I could put a smile on someone's face, that's not a bad day.
No.
And it doesn't matter how much money it costs. Yesterday, three people cried tears of joy.
Oh, no.
That is worth every penny, and you know what? It makes my day.
You had to... You had to come up with funds to buy a new one. I know you went about a process of doing that. I know you had did you have a GoFundMe?
Well, I actually didn't. Okay. I actually had planned on somehow coming up with the money. Yeah. You know, it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
But somebody set up a GoFundMe, and I actually got, you know,
a good chunk of
the cost.
That's
yeah.
Great. That's great. Well, I appreciate your doing this.
More than my pleasure.
I appreciate you being here, and I called you last week. I said, man, we got to talk for the radio show. And you said, yeah. Did you get your TV interview this morning?
I did not get the TV interview. I kind of backed off a little bit.
Okay.
I wanted to keep it with you because you asked first. And
all right. Well, you should be on TV whenever you get the opportunity.
I've had my share. I'm okay. I don't need my 15 minutes of fame, okay. But
I appreciate it, man. I love what you have set up here. People can't see Mark's camping area, but it's like you have your home rebuilt here.
I try to make it look like that.
It looks like a home. You got rugs. You get all you know. You can not put rugs down. Some people put area rugs down. You have family people coming and going. It's a great site, and it takes a lot of effort on your part. I'm glad that you do it. Glad that you're here. I'm glad we're all here back at Great Box again with the whole gang again. It's like the whole gang is back because Marlou's up in the air.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be back. I'm very happy to have her back, and so are the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. More than a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, man.
And now, as Paul Harvey used to say, page two. That interview was in the morning. I was walking around. This is like breakfast, early breakfast time. And wanted to talk to Mark. And so we did. And by the way, after this was over, we walked down the aisle there of the tents. And there are people with tattoos and with shirts that aren't Mark. It's not his stuff. They have the flying pig. People are crazy about the flying pig. So that's in the morning. Page two is really before lunchtime on that very same day. Mark walked up to our campsite and said, you want the good news or the bad news? Well, me, I always want both. So I said, both of them. And he says, well, the good news is Laura Lou is up, which I could see that. The bad news is there is no helium in the entire state of New York. And so apparently it just loses its helium after a while, and you always replenish it. Didn't know that. So, yeah, sure enough, there was none. We even made some phone calls to check around for helium. In the whole state of New York, there was none. So that was a sad moment. A couple hours after lunch, I was walking around the lower field, going over to one of the tents for a workshop to watch, not to participate in. And I kind of, there's the pig. There it is, the pig. Great story, Mark. And then I'm watching the pig, and I'm thinking, well, he's really letting her feel her oats. She's getting, and all of a sudden, she's just going. And that's too long of a rope. And so this new Laura Lou escaped again the very day that we talked about it, and took pretty much the same route as the first Laura Lou, over a bunch of trees in that same direction, and she was gone forever now. So that's the sad part of the story. Beautiful story. And Mark is, he's going to do it again. He's going to get another black flying pig in honor of Laura Lou, who he discussed, and he really enjoys doing it. And so hopefully by next year, if he wants to. I mean, it's an expensive proposition, and he loves doing it. The lollipops are incredibly great. Poor Laura Lou 2, we would call her. She went seeking company of the first Laura Lou, and nobody knows where they're going to wind up, probably in a tree. But when you turn around and you look up and you think, oh, there's Laura Lou. Look, she's really stretching out. She's really getting up there. Oh, look out. Wait a minute. She should never be that high. And sure enough, she had come loose from three different tethers. He had her tethered down three different times in a really strong wind gust. And she was off to the races, to the pig races, flying along. So thank you, Mark. Hopefully we can get this together again. And the pig will fly at Gray Fox. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass.